Grace and peace to you in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. The message this morning is based on somewhat on all the readings, so I'm not going to zero in and unpack one particular verse, but talk a little bit about all of them and their meaning for us. And as a former sailor, I gave this message a title that is befitting of that history of mine. His course was charted. His course was charted. We're going to talk about that. Let's say a word of prayer. Father of grace and Father of mercy, praise be to you. Praise be to you that you would send your beloved Son into the world out of love. That is the clear word of Scripture, that you demonstrated your love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so as we contemplate that great truth, send your Spirit to lead us right to the foot of the cross, that we may recognize that you have made us your children through what Christ came to do in Jerusalem that day. And let's celebrate it, but also be aware of the price that was paid. In the name of Jesus, amen. So listen, one of the things that I'd like to do this morning is just to do sort of like what Pastor Harry did in the children's sermon today, and that is lay a good context to understand why we come in with palm branches and celebrate on Palm Sunday. This entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem has a name. Do any of y'all remember what this particular event is called in the church? You remember? Jesus's triumphal, say the last word, Jesus's triumphal entry, right? This is what this is titled. And maybe we need to understand why it's called Jesus's triumphal entry. Certainly there was a lot of celebration. There was waving of palm branches. There was shouts of Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But why would that really seriously irritate the religious leaders of the day? The different gospel lessons give us different lenses or different perspectives to view this triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Our first reading as we came into the sanctuary today didn't highlight how this offended so much the religious leaders of his day. In fact, they told Jesus, tell your followers to be quiet. You remember Jesus' response? If they don't shout, the stones themselves will lift up their voices. Because something incredible was happening, and something incredible was happening that was being done by the Lord of creation, Jesus Christ himself. The religious leaders recognized what was going on because several hundred years earlier, there was another king that came into the cities of Palestine, a king by the name of Alexander the Great. He came in basically pushing back the armies of Persia. The Persian Empire had been the power of the time. When Alexander came, the Greek Empire became the empire of the time, and he was pushing back the Persian armies. And as he came into the cities of Palestine, they welcomed him. How did they welcome Alexander? Palm branches. Welcome. They just opened the gates and let him in. They didn't fight him. And that's what was happening here. So the history says that as Jesus came into Jerusalem that day, the religious leaders recognized what was going on. And part of me wants to think, I'm not positive because I haven't seen it written about, that part of the charges that eventually were brought to Pilate to condemn Jesus as the one who wanted to take over for Caesar was because of that history, that the secular king would come in, be received, and when Jesus came in on that way, they could say, you see what's going on here? He wants to become king and dethrone Caesar. So we have that as history. Now, here's another thing that happens. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem fresh off the resurrection of Lazarus. You remember the resurrection of Lazarus, right? Jesus goes to the tomb of a man who'd been buried 4 days. And he simply says, Lazarus, rise. And Lazarus, resurrected, came out of the grave, and that electrified all of the people in that area. And people knew that Jesus had done that. So part of the Hosannas, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, was because they knew that this had happened at the tomb of Lazarus. There's a big distinction to be made between the entrance of Alexander and the entrance of Jesus. See, Alexander came in as a conquering king, conquering earthly king. Jesus came into Jerusalem knowing that he was going to die, knowing that. Alexander didn't come in knowing that his death was just before him, but Jesus did. That had been talked about in the Old Testament. It had been a prophecy that when the Messiah came, that he would give his life. Read Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The chastisement that we should have received was upon him. It was already a prophecy that the Messiah, the King that we were shouting Hosanna for, was going to die. When Jesus was presented at the temple by his mama and his papa, when he was just a little baby, you remember what Simeon said? He will be one who will bring a challenge to many. And for you, Mary, what will happen with your son will pierce your own soul. So there was already this sense that Jesus would come to die. And apart from that, when he was baptized, you remember John the Baptist's words about Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How was the Lamb of God treated when the Lamb went into the temple? Well, it wasn't to be fed, it was to be slaughtered and killed. And that was a prophecy about Jesus who was entering into Jerusalem. And finally, Jesus himself said it over and over again to his followers. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer much at the hand of the religious leaders. They're going to kill me. But he told them, but I'll come back. I'll come back. So Jesus' destiny was clear. Even as the shouts of Hosanna were still ringing out, Jesus knew what would happen to him. There's a term in the medical world called terminal lucidity. Have you ever heard of that term? Terminal lucidity. I'm going to explain it to you with a story. I have had a dear friend. His name was Jim. Jim was just an incredible guy, just all personality. People just loved to be around him. He began as a youth worker in the church. Finally, he changed careers and became sort of what Bob was. He worked in human resources for a big hospital organization, which is where I met him. Jim was the life of the party kind of guy. If you went to a party and Jim was there, he would be the guy around whom many people would gather. And you would hear them laughing because he had a way of telling stories that was just incredible. People would just follow him. He was a natural, likable person, just the sweetest person in the world. Jim was gay. Jim ended up contracting AIDS, and he was hospitalized. And the doctors knew that he was already in the terminal stages of AIDS and would not recover. But because of the many, many friendships and the many people that cared about him and loved him, there was a constant parade of people going into the hospital to see him. And slowly, he began to deteriorate. And finally, people knew that if they wanted to see him one last time, they would have to come in to see him. Well, it turns out that the day before he died, Jim kind of had almost like a miraculous recovery. He began to eat again. He began to joke again. He was just a happy guy the way he had always been when he was completely healthy. That is called terminal lucidity, the idea that a person who is on a deathbed has this period of almost complete recovery or very close to complete recovery right before they die. Have you ever seen that? I've been at the deathbed of many a person. And it just kind of seems that it works out that way. In the days or the day before the person is finally called into eternity, they have this amazing recovery. You might think of Palm Sunday and the Hosannas and the blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, kind of like a period of terminal lucidity for our Savior Jesus Christ. Because he came into this joyful, happy, energized kind of time only to go the cross before the end of the week, fulfilling prophecy. And he didn't do it just so that he could be a martyr. He did it for a very specific reason. His name means he will save his people from their sins. His people would be you and me. We're the ones that were the object of his love when he came into Jerusalem to shouts of Hosanna, only to see the weekend with the shouts of crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. The whole story is reflected well in the reading that our sister Margaret did a little earlier from Philippians. And it compels us to look at Jesus and to allow our lives to become a reflection of his. In Philippians, the reading says this: your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. In fact, that is one of the characteristics of this Jesus. The writer of Hebrews says later, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. All of this reminds us that Jesus went into Jerusalem to shouts of Hosanna, but knowing that he would die, and that the reason for that would be to rescue us from sin, death, and Satan. God loves you and me so much that no price was too high to pay. No price, even sending his only begotten Son. That's the way it was from the beginning. Jesus was born for this. And so, as we culminate the time from Christmas to now, Jesus' triumphal entry, it might be a good thing to remember what we were saying when we said, Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. He was born for this. The course was charted from the very beginning. The shouts of Hosanna would not change the outcome. See, the shadow of the cross was squarely on that manger in Bethlehem. As we await Good Friday, that is now coming into much sharper and clearer focus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's pray. Lord, the scriptures tell us that you so loved the world that you sent your only begotten Son into the world to die for us. Allow us to recognize that. Allow us to recognize that the price that was paid for our transgressions, our many transgressions, was the price that Jesus went into Jerusalem to pay. Bless us as we contemplate this in his precious and powerful name. Amen.